Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to San Clemente Funk for October 8th, 2012. Tonight, in the second hour of the show, we will be joined by Mark Unseen, a legendary voice behind The Unseen, Ashers, and Tenebrae. He's also lent his voice to several different bands like Global Threat, Blood for Blood, Death Before Dishonor. And we'll catch up with Mark in the second hour, so make sure you stay tuned in. San Clemente Funk is proudly part of the Fight Moors Radio Network here on blogtalkradio.com. Fight Moors Radio Network is a five-day-a-week network, with Monday being San Clemente Punk. Tuesday is Big Dog Radio with Big Dog Benny Henderson, and his guest tomorrow night is legendary porn actress Sunset Thomas. Wednesday night is Sports Night with Tommy G. Thursday night is McGee's Back Room. Dave McGuigan takes us through an eclectic mix of music. It's probably the best show on Fight Moors Radio Network. And then Friday, of course, is the Fight Moors Radio Network flagship show with Fight Moors. Thanks for joining us tonight. We got a lot of punk and talking to do. We got a full interview with Mark Unseen in that second hour, like I said. Tonight, though, we're going to start with Washington, D.C.'s Immoral Discipline. These guys were around a long time ago, and I was lucky enough to get my hands on a reissuance of their album. This is Immoral Discipline, Immoral Discipline with No Mercy.
Fucking mercy!
Okay, that was Washington, D.C.'s Immoral Discipline. They were around a long time ago, and that recording is actually a remastering of back in the day. You just went in your garage and you basically held a microphone up to a guitar amp that you sang through. So you didn't have a lot of money for PAs and stuff like that. And that's definitely a lo-fi recording, but it's a very, very good recording. Those guys were really good. I was lucky enough to see those guys back in the day. When I grew up in Philadelphia, and I actually used to go down to D.C. and watch shows. Enough about that, though. We're going to move on to Big Trouble. This is off of Big Trouble's newest album, Bats in the Belfry. This is Super Dave Osborne by Big Trouble.
These days I can't be straight, and aspirations are a crime. Your battle in the back is a punch in the face. You can get to bed on your drawing time. The news won't stick, and I won't quit. I've got the time to get it right. Everyone tells me this is real bad. My best foot forward is a kick in the ass.
Okay, guys, it was Big Trouble with Bats in the Belfry. Okay. I have more on them. I actually lost the page. I had it up on. The Dirty Filthy Mugs are dragging their dirty, filthy asses all over the United States this year. We're actually right now with a tour. Just today are playing in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the Downtown Lounge in Tulsa. Then they head to Liberty, Missouri, Club 906. Then they're in Clive, Iowa at Bombay Bicycle Club. Joplin, Missouri on Thursday at the Blackthorn Pizza and Pub. They are in McCook, Nebraska at Sports, which is at 1604 West J Street in McCook, Nebraska. Then they hit Denver at Lion's Lair. Then they're Fort Collins at Hoodie's Half Note. And then Monday, they are here in Salt Lake at Willie's Lounge. They end up at the Slider Bar October 20th in Fullerton, but they will be here in Salt Lake at Willie's Lounge Monday the 15th. It's actually a free show that the Salt Lake Pirate Punks are putting on. It's a great organization, the Pirate Punks are, and you guys can find out more about those guys if you look up Pirates, P-Y-R-A-T-E-S. P-U-N-X, you'll find all the cities that are involved in the Pirate Punks. The Salt Lake City has a chapter. Those guys do a lot of good things for the scene here, and they're trying to revive it, along with the Boppin' Betties, who are a women's group of pinup girls, put on shows as well. Enough about that, though. This is the Dirty Filthy Mugs with Jokers and Cons. We'll be right back. Okay, that was the Dirty Filthy Mugs, who are on the DC Jam record label, by the way. If you want to look them up, just look up DC Jam, not Jams, DCJamRecords.com. That label supports a lot of great punk with The Addicts just joined that label. Down by Law is on the label. TSOL is on the label. Dirty Filthy Mugs is on that label. JFA is on that label. You know, a very good label. You can check those guys out there. We're going to move on now to Warbird Entertainment's recording artist, Carbomb. Carbomb released Nose Before Toes. When did they release that? Well, it's been almost a year. November 22nd, actually. Carbomb consists of four guys who really have a lot of fun. Nick Fitt, who's on vocals and drums. David Browntown. Rory Riley, Fozzie Riley, and Jay Carbomb. They are out of Athens, Georgia, which has become a real hotbed for punk music. They're a great band. You can check them out on Warbird Entertainment at warbirdentertainment.com. Check those guys out. But this is Carbomb with, which one do I have? This is Vegan and Scara. Georgia's own Carbomb, and like I said, Athens has really burgeoned into, and Athens has always been a very vivid music scene, but it's really starting to become a punk hotbed again. We're going to move on now to M Section. M Section is a Park Santa Rosa band. They actually named themselves after a neighborhood that bears that name. The band consists of Brian Gelman, Brandon Stolt, Nick Chudwick, and Matt Jones. You can find these guys on Facebook. They're a very good band. I was lucky enough to get them to play here in Salt Lake for us at one of our shows, and I cannot remember which show it was. I'm really sorry. But this is M Section with Swimming in Flannel. Okay, that was M Section with Swimming in Flannel. We're going to move on now to another Washington, D.C. band, Supreme Commander. They formed in 2005 when Daycare Swindlers, Latchkey, and Wake Up Cold all pretty much broke up at the same time. The members came together and they formed up. They've been, you know, they kind of slowed down in 2008, but they just released on Basement Records their newest album, Paper Tigers. This is off that album. This is Supreme Commander with The Message.
Time and time again, we heard our loved ones and betray our closest friends.
Okay, that was Supreme Commander with The Message. And like I said, they just released their album on Basement Records called Paper Tigers. Run out and grab that. It's a great album. And, you know, it was a great opportunity for the fans to hear the band again, considering they really haven't done much outside of D.C. for a little while. They've been concentrating more on their music. We're going to move on now to the Star-Spangled Bastards. This is the Star-Spangled Bastards with Retaliatory Suicide. Star-Spangled Bastards with Retaliatory Suicide. We're going to move on now to a, I wouldn't really call them a punk band. The Langer's Ball is a definitely a Celtic band, more of a Celtic rock band. They're just releasing their album, Between the Devil and the Barrel, I believe it's called, or The Barrel and the Devil. I need to find that out really quick. Let me see. Yeah, The Devil or the Barrel, that's what it's called. And you can find these guys. They have their own website, The Langer's Ball, L-A-N-G-E-R-S-B-A-L-L. They've got some good music on there. This is, and this is decidedly Celtic. This is Johnny, Your Roving Blade.
Johnny, you're rolling blade. Now what's gonna do when the
that was the Langer's Ball with Johnny Euroroving Blade. Staying in that whole Celtic theme, kind of, Portland, Oregon's Rum Rebellion has dragged their butts all over the United States a couple times a year, actually, for the last 4 or 5 years. There's talk of them coming back out, although they had to break in a new drummer and a new guitarist. But this is Rum Rebellion with another drinking song.
May the whiskey and beer keep on flowing, and the gin and the ale and the rum, and we'll raise our glass to the good times past and the times that are yet to come. When I woke up, I reached for a bottle. From that bottle, I started to drink. Well, I chugged it all down my gullet, and the bottle was gone in a blink. 'Cause I love getting tossed in the morning, fucking drinking all day.
Okay, that was Portland, Oregon's Rum Rebellion. You can find those guys on Facebook. They have a page. They're a very good band. Very much in that whole Celtic punk genre. Very, very well established. They're on Crash Assailant Records, but they will be touring again soon. They assured me, and I really hope they do because they're a very good band. We're going to move on now to band that, the singer was the original, Mike McCullough was the original singer for Dropkick Murphys, and then he left Dropkick Murphys to pursue his boyhood dream of becoming a firefighter. After he did that for a while, he decided it wasn't his cup of tea, and he moved on to the Street Dogs. The Street Dogs this year really tore down the stage at Punk Rock Bowling. I was lucky enough to be there for it. And they did an absolutely fantastic set, tore the place up. This is the Street Dogs with my favorite song by them. This is Justifiable Fisticuffs.
Travel around to around, have a row, time to
Okay, so Tim McMahon started Mouthpiece way back in the early 90s when he was still in high school. They are still around. They just played the Revolution Records 25th anniversary there in New York. That was just this last weekend. And Tim's a hell of a nice guy. He's a good guy, a good friend of the show. This is Mouthpiece with Cinder. Very good band. They're still rocking it out even now. I saw those guys June 8th of 2011 at the Glass House with Utah Today, and they absolutely tore it up. I'm hoping, those guys all have jobs and everything, but it would be great to see those guys tour again. The flavor of this band also, this is Outspoken with Spark.
Away, alive,
Okay, that was Outspoken with Spark. Like I said, they played that. They were actually open June 8th show that I was lucky enough to get to. We're gonna play. Yeah, this is a request. This is the Ramones with Gimme Shock Treatment. Okay, that was Ramones with Gimme Shock Treatment. We're going to move on now to Jerry's Kids, a band out of Boston that was really made famous with the This Is Boston, Not L.A. These guys had a very influential career, although not the longest career, very influential. This is Jerry's Kids with Raise the Curtains.
Raise the Curtain, take one.
Something I
that was Jerry's Kids with Raise the Curtains. This is Jay Church with Where the Trains Go. Okay, guys, we're a couple minutes from having Mark Unseen as our guest on. Mark, of course, has lent his voice to a couple different projects, Blood for Blood, Death Before Dishonor, but he's also the lead singer for The Unseen, Ashers, and Tenebrae, now Tenebrae. So we're really excited to get him on. It should be very shortly that we get him on. We're going to move on now to this is... This is Vicious Circle with Police Brutality. Okay, no, it's not. I'm not sure why. This instead is, this is Unsane with Scrape.
Bye.
Okay, guys, we're just waiting on Mark to call in. He should be calling in here shortly. I talked to him earlier. He may be held up a little bit. Until then, we're going to play a little bit more music. This is Sick of It All with Step Down. Tonight on San Clemente Punk, we are joined by a punk rock and hardcore legend, Mark Unseen. Mark has been part of the punk world since his early teens, cutting his teeth on drums in the very fertile Boston scene. Mark moved from behind the drum kit in front of the Unseen when their lead singer left. Since that time, Mark's voice has become one of the most recognized in punk and the hardcore world, fronting the Unseen, Ashers, and now Tenebrae. Mark has also lent his voice to several different punk bands, including Global Threat, Blood for Blood, and Death Before Dishonor. Please join me in welcoming the legendary Mark Unseen. Mark, how are you tonight?
Doing good.
Great.
How you
now,
doing?
Mark, I'm good. I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, Mark, you grew up in Hingham, Massachusetts, not too far outside Boston, a town that really, the only real rival for the punk and hardcore scene was New York City. Do you feel fortunate having been raised there?
Yeah, definitely. Like, coming up as, like, a teenager in Boston, you know, I was just able to go into the city, you know, which was only, like, about a half-hour train ride away from the suburbs I grew up in. And, you know, there's a ton of good record stores in there and, you know, places to go see shows, you know, clubs, like The Rat, which isn't there anymore, the Middle East, It was before the internet, so, I mean, nowadays it's a lot easier to get into to bands and music in general because you can just kind of find it online. But back then, you kind of had to go out and go to stores and look for records and, you know, meet people to find out what was going on.
Okay. Now, you started out playing drum. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no worries. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you started out playing drums. Is there anyone in your family you can point to as a source of your musical talent?
No. I wanted to play music, once I got into my teens. And I tried playing bass, and I couldn't figure it out. And then I figured, I'd try drums. And, I just started, at the time I was listening to a lot of metal, like Slayer and, Metallica, Anthrax, and that stuff is like pretty hard to learn how to play. So I started kind of getting into punk rock, bands like the Misfits and the Sex Pistols. And then once I got into that stuff, it's a lot easier to try to learn a Sex Pistol song, than a Slayer song, just because it's, technically
right.
A lot easier. So that's kind of how I got into playing. It wasn't like really anybody, no family member like bought me a drum set and told me to, sat me down and gave me lessons or anything. It's just kind of something I picked up on my own. Although I will say, like, my mom was definitely really cool because she was had the patience to let me sit down there and play, for hours, whether it was by myself or with, like, the early version of the Unseen or, other people that I was playing with before that.
Now, how did you get your first drum kit then?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I decided I wanted one, so I had a job. I started working when I was like 14 just because I kind of had to in order to, be able to get anything, whether it was go out or buy stuff for myself because my family didn't have any money. So I just started saving up, my paychecks for drums, and I think I spent like $400 or $500 on it. It was like a Tama kit, which is actually still kind of floating around Boston. Every once in a while I'll see it. I think a friend of mine who used to play in a band, The Statistics, last I checked, he had it, actually. So.
Wow. Okay. Now, as a drummer, there were so many directions musically you could go. How did you settle on punk? I know you said that the riffs were easier to learn, but, was there ever, were you ever like, well, jazz or, anything like that?
No. I mean, it's like I said, I always liked metal growing up, and I still do. But it was just, like, punk is, like, what I wanted to play because it's basically what I was into. Like, I came from, like, a good family. My parents went through a divorce when I was, like, really young. And then my mom remarried. And, I lived, like, a middle-class life, maybe even slightly upper middle class at times, depending on, like, the economy and stuff. And then my mom got a divorce from the guy she married, and once that happened, I went from being like middle to upper middle class to being like dirt poor, and that's kind of, then I started kind of listening to, punk bands and like really relating to, like the lifestyle and the lyrics of it, because it was, all about like oppression and hardship, and that's like what I was dealing with, as a kid. So just kind of like getting into that music and that lifestyle, it's just like that's why I kept playing that stuff.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, poverty, and I'm sure you'll agree, is a very fertile breeding ground for contempt. And if you don't find a direction, and a lot of people found punk as a direction, and a lot of great music and people came out of that scene because of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Now, how did your family feel about you becoming a punker and, the Mohawks and everything like that?
They didn't mind it. I mean, certain people in my family would say like, oh, you look like an asshole. I don't know if I could swear, so sorry.
Yeah,
like,
you can swear.
okay, it's like, oh, you look like an asshole, this or that. But, I mean, I was never really like a bad kid growing up. I was straight edge until I was like 25, 26 years old. So I wasn't like running around, getting wasted or, doing drugs, stuff like that. And I was, I never really got into much trouble, so after a while, like, my family just got over the way I looked and was like, all right, well, he's not a shitbag, so whoever he wants to dress is fine, you know what I mean? So.
Right. And how do they feel now?
I mean, fine, I guess. I don't really talk to them too much about it, but, like, you know, like, both my parents and, you know, even, like, my brothers and sisters, like, I'd say they're probably, like, you know, proud of me for like, what I've done, you know what I mean? Like, just the places I've gone and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not, like, rich. I don't have any money from playing punk rock, but, I mean, I've traveled the world because of it, you know what I mean? I've got to help my family out, you know, sometimes, it, like, letting them see bands that they wanted to see, you know,
right.
Because of, you know, because I was friends with, you know, people in bands or was able to get them into a show or something. And, you know, it's pretty cool, I guess, to have your family watch you play, you know, like a decent sized show with a band and be like, oh, wow, I can't believe my kid's playing with, you know, Rancid or, you know, whoever it is, you know, so like Bad Religion or whatever. So, you know, stuff
right.
like that's pretty cool. Just being able to kind of like, give something to my family once in a while, like, oh, you want to see the show? Sure, I'll get you in.
Okay. Now, Mark, you started out as a drummer, then you became a singer. Did you always have a secret desire to front a band?
No, not at all, really. I mean, it was just with the Unseen when we started, I always sang, but it was just a couple songs. Like, when we started playing, when we first started playing, I just played drums, but, I mean, then I'd say 6-7 months later, when our original singer, like, when he left the band or whatever, this is, like, when we were, like, 17 years old, then we got another friend of ours, Paul, to join the band, and he played, you know, pretty much every instrument, drums, guitar, sang, and our bass player sang and played bass, and so, like, I just kind of started singing from behind the drum set, and originally I would just, there was a couple songs where I, like, sang as I played drums, you know, at the same
right.
time, and then after a while, because we had two guitar players, we just started kind of switching instruments around. So, I mean, there was always a point where I was singing, I don't know, at least 3 or 4 songs out of, like, the 10-song set list, you know. It would be, like, I'd sing 3, Tripp would sing 4 or 5, Paul would sing 4 or 5 or whatever, so, and then eventually when Paul left the band, Tripp just didn't really want to sing much anymore, you know, and they were like, it just makes more sense for you to sing, because at that time we had gotten another drummer, Pat, who's still in the band today. When we originally hired him, he was only playing, you know, some of the set, and that was the songs that I sang. He would come play drums on, but other than that, he wasn't even playing. He was just kind of sitting around waiting for like his turn or whatever. So once Paul left, it seemed like it just kind of naturally happened. I wasn't like, I want to be the singer, you know, it just kind of like what ended up happening.
So it was more out of necessity.
Yeah, I guess out of necessity and just out of, it just made sense because we had another drummer who was in the band who was a way better drummer than me. And, so at that point it's like, all right, you know, I'm singing more songs now. We've done 3 or 4 records. There's easily 10 songs that I wrote, you know, that I sang on the album. So, you know, now we can just do a few more of my songs live, you know what I mean? And still have, and we were still mixing in Tripp songs. So he was still singing, you know, all the songs that he sang on the record. So it was just like a natural progression. And to me, I don't know, like, I always find it funner to have a front man. You know, I mean, there's
right.
been some great, there's some great bands that, you know, where there isn't a guy that just runs around and sings, but to me,
right.
I always think it's more entertaining for the fan to have, like, somebody with the microphone who's not, like, you know, strapped onto a guitar or something like that. They can kind of, like, interact with the audience a lot, so it just kind
right.
of, I think, makes for a better live set.
Okay. Now, originally, the original name of the Unseen was actually The Extinct. Why did you change the name, and were there other names that you had kicked around?
We kicked around a ton of names. Most of them were really bad because, again, we were 16, 17-year-old kids when we started the band. The Extinct actually was a different band, but it was me on drums, Tripp on bass, a singer named Jaws was his nickname, and then a guitar player, Paul, who's in the band. And then we just basically, things kind of just went south with the singer. He was just kind of insane, and I don't know, he was in his own world. So we basically decided to get rid of him and go on, you know, in a different direction. So once, and it was like a little bit more punk, because originally the Extinct, it was punk, but there was kind of some metal elements in the band, but it was just terrible because none of us could play metal anyways. So, you know, we weren't talented enough at the time. So the Extinct kind of, you know, it broke up, and then the Unseen started with three of the members of the Extinct, you know, and then, but then shortly after the Unseen started, Paul was, you know, the guitar player of the Extinct. He left the band, and then we replaced him with Scott, who's still the, you know, lead guitar player of the band to this day.
Right.
So that's kind of what that was. It was like I said, like a different band with some of the same people.
Now,
and then as far as other names, I don't even, it was a bunch of like horror movies, you know, like I think we were going to call the band Dementia 13 or what else, like Black Eye, I think we were going to name the band at one point. So it was just kind of a bunch of stupid names.
Now, after forming the Unseen, you guys moved to Boston. Was that always part of the plan?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's just kind of, you know, you grow up in a suburb, you know, on the outskirts of Boston. When you get a little older, you know, if most of your friends are living there, you know, and some of the guys were going to school or whatever, just wanted to get out of, you know, the town we grew up in. So it's just made sense to go there. I mean, actually one of our guitar players, Paul Russo, he lived in Maine for a long period of time, and he moved to Boston, then moved back to Maine. I moved to Providence for a little bit. We pretty much lived in Boston most of the time, but we kind of moved around wherever.
Okay. Now, Mark, I want to play a song from The Unseen. The song is The Anger and the Truth. Could you tell us a bit about it before I play it?
Let me see, that song. I don't even, geez, that was written a long time ago. I actually didn't write the lyrics to that one, so I usually try not to describe someone else's lyrics, you know, just because I didn't write them. But I mean, it's just basically the name of the song kind of sums up what it's about. It's just, you know, about being pissed off and, you know, discontent with, you know, the way you're living and everything around you and stuff like that. So I guess that's my explanation.
All right. This is The Unseen with The Anger and the Truth.
Everything you've been for was a fucking lie.
Comente Punk, proudly part of the Fighting Words Radio Network here on blogtalkradio.com. Tonight we're joined by the legendary Mark Unseen. Mark, welcome back.
Oh, cool. I haven't heard that song in a long time.
That's actually one of my favorite songs by the Unseen. Love that song. Now, Mark, after Paul's departure from the Unseen, you became the full-time singer, and you also formed ADD Records. How did that occur?
I just was looking to – I was booking a lot of shows at the time and wanted to – well, actually originally wanted to find somebody to put out Unseen stuff, and, you know, it was hard, so I just kind of started a label to put out stuff for the Unseen and then, you know, other bands that I thought were good and, you know, couldn't find a label, you know, so it was just something I kind of wanted to do to be in, like, you know, be more involved and stuff and help out. So it was just kind of, I don't know, something I wanted to do. And I wanted to put out a comp. I had this idea to put out a comp with like 10 bands, but to put like 3 songs by each band on the comp. That way there, like, I figured like people are getting like 10 different 7-inches almost, because you're getting, you know, 3 songs by a band. So I kind of like, that's like one of the main things I wanted to do with the label. So I just got in touch with a bunch of bands that I liked that were modern. I wanted them to be like, you know, modern bands that were playing out and kind of, you know, around the world that were doing stuff currently. And, you know, bands like Brain Dance, Oxymoron, Casualties, Blank 77, Anti-Flag. Most of them were bands that I was friends with by the time I wanted to put the compo, because I had played shows with them, stuff like that. So I just kind of got in touch with everybody and got everything together and put that comp out. And it was just kind of like, I just kind of learned as I went. I had done a couple 7-inches before that, you know, which were fairly easy to get rid of. But then with the CDs, it was just like, I thought it would be a little tougher, and it was, you know, just to try to find distributors to put them in stores and, you know, trade with and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize how much dedication goes into a label.
Yeah, a lot, you know, especially nowadays, because it's, I wouldn't really know, it would be like learning all over again now, because it's so internet-driven now, whereas, like, you know, when I did it, it was probably like, I don't know, I'd say like 97, 98 or something like that. It's when I kind of really started doing the label. And back then it was just like you could go into any record store, like a mom and pop store, you know, with some of your CDs, and they would buy them. You know, like, hey, will you, you know, check it out, this is what it is, blah, blah, blah. And if it's something they thought that they could sell, you know, they would take like 5 or 10 of them. And then,
right,
you know, and then so once I got a bunch of releases and a reputation with people, you know, for putting out certain kind of stuff, it was fairly easy just to – I would just drive around stores. I'd drive out to New Hampshire and go to a couple record stores. I'd drive down to Providence, go to a few record stores, you know, and then send the rest out, you know, just to distributors throughout the U.S. And most of those distributors aren't even in business anymore, so it's
– right.
But it's definitely a lot of work, you know. And like, yeah, I said, as far as nowadays, I wouldn't even know what to do.
Now, Mark, you were also a second vocalist for 2 albums with Global Threat. How did that come about?
I was a fan of the band, and they had moved, like a few of the guys had moved from Maine, where the band had started, down to Boston, and they went through some lineup changes at that period, a couple of the guys moved to Boston, and I was living in the city at the time, and I just started hanging out with them a lot, and Brian, the singer, stayed with me for a little bit. I think he was either didn't have an apartment or was waiting to get in one. I don't even know for sure, but he was living with me, and then I'd go to shows with them and stuff, and then they kind of started talking about the idea of adding a second vocalist to the band. A lot of bands at the time were doing it in the 90s. It was like the thing to do. Casualties had 2 singers at one point. Defiance had 2 singers. There was just a lot of, you know, Ozrotten, and there was a ton of bands doing it. So they were talking about, you know, about doing it. And at the time I was like, I was close to them and I really liked the band. I was like, well, I'd be into doing it if you guys wanted to try it out. So I just tried it out and it worked. And the Unseen was kind of not doing that much at that period of time. I think, I want to say Trip had just started going to school, like started going to college and wasn't able to tour. And so I wanted to keep touring because the Unseen had kind of done a few tours at that point and I was really into traveling. So that's how I started doing that.
Okay. Now, shortly after you decided to focus mainly on the Unseen, you formed a side project, Self Destruct. Who was in that band with you?
That was like right as I stopped playing with Global Threat. What happened was it turned out that it was kind of too much to deal with being in both bands, Global Threat and Unseen, because Unseen wanted to tour. And then what happened was a couple of guys in Global Threat and a couple of the guys in the Unseen were in college. So the only time we could really tour at that time was during school break. So I kind of had to choose one. So I had more of an allegiance to the Unseen because I started the band, you know, with Trip, like, you know, at that point, 6 or 7, you know, probably like 6 years prior. So I felt like Global Threat wasn't really my band. It was more so Brian's and the other guys. So I stopped doing the Global Threat thing, started playing with the Unseen just full-time again, and then I don't really know exactly what happened. Self Destruct was never going to be like a full-time band. It was just something where the bass player, Pete, and the drummer, Mike of Global Threat, I was still good friends with them, and we were just hanging out a lot, and we decided we wanted to try to just write some songs that were, you know, maybe a little bit different than Unseen and Global Threat, and, you know, just and put out a 7-inch. So that's what we did. We just kind of got together instead of practicing once in a while and just went in and recorded some songs. And we never really played that many shows. I think we played in New York, I think, once or twice. We played New Jersey at Holidays in the Sun, which was, like, probably the only, like, really good show we ever played. And then we played a couple local Boston shows, but that was about it. And then that kind of fell apart just because I think at that time Pete, the bass player, was moving to California and leaving Global Threat, and you know, because he was still playing Global Threat down here. So that just kind of, once that happened, it just kind of was like, all right, well, we're not going to do this anymore.
Now, Mark, after 6 studio albums, a Warped Tour. The Unseen is kind of going on hiatus. You haven't called it quits. And then you went on to form Thorpe Records, Ashers. How did Ashers form?
The Unseen was like kind of slowing down, and some of the guys just wanted to take a break. They were sick of traveling. And it was just a couple of the friends of mine from Reno. I kind of started the band with this guitar player, a friend of mine, Bill, who I had known probably for 9 or 10 years at that point. And he had done backup vocals on a lot of the Unseen records. I want to say like the second one, So This Is Freedom. Then probably the third. I think he did backup vocals on The Anger and the Truth and Explode as well. And then State of Discontent. So he was in a band, Crash and Burn, and I always liked the band and thought he was a good songwriter, and we just started hanging out more. And his band, Crash and Burn, had kind of broke up, and the Unseen was kind of slowing down a little bit at that point, whereas I wanted to still be, you know, doing more. So we just said, you know, hey, let's just write some songs, see how it goes. So me and him got together with a friend of ours, Joe, and just wrote some songs, and then just went in and recorded them, and we liked them, so we just started like sending them out, trying to find somebody to put it out, and just kind of get it going. So that was that. And then you know, I did that for a couple of years, and then that kind of started to slow down. The guitar player, Bill, was moving, and you know, and then the other guitar player was talking about moving, so it just kind of, we just kind of slowed that thing down, and now it's just kind of, you know, not, we're not like broken up, but we're just not really doing anything, so.
Right.
We don't have a full band, really. It's basically just me, the bass player, and I think our drummer's still in the band. I'm not even sure.
Now, Asher's pretty quickly released Cold Dark Place. Was this music you had already written?
No. It's all the music was written by the guitar player, Bill. The lyrics, I think, were, I don't remember exactly on that release, probably half and half, I'm going to say. I'm going to guess, I'd have to look at the CD and even look at the songs, but some of the lyrics were probably already written. A lot of times I use something that I wrote years ago that I never finished. Even with my new band Tenebrae, a song off our CD was something that I wrote for Self Destruct, which was, geez, I would say 8 years ago at this point, and it's just something I never finished. So on that Asher CD, I'm sure there was something that was kicking around in like one of my notebooks that I might have wrote, and you know, 12 years ago. That I never got around to finishing. So, but for the most part, it was new stuff.
Okay. Now, how did you? Asher's got signed to Thorpe Records. Was this a relationship you had had before? Did you know, the guys from Thorpe, or how did you guys get signed with Thorpe Records?
Yeah, I knew the guy Andy that runs the label. He was talking to me about the Unseen for a while before we signed to Epitaph or Hellcat, you know, same label.
Right.
And we talked to him a little bit. At that point, you know, he was really interested, and he had just signed Blood for Blood and Madball and a few other bands, and so I kind of was talking to him and just kind of became friends with him. You know, then we ended up Unseen ended up going with Hellcat, and you know, I stayed in contact with Thorpe. Like I said, it was like, you know, like a friend of mine. I talked to him once in a while on the phone, stuff like that. And then, so when I started the new band, I just, you know, I figured I'd send him something to check out and see if he liked it. So I sent it out to him and he was into it. And, you know, we just kind of, he asked if we were going to be like a serious band or just like a side project. And, you know, at the time we were looking to actually really go out and tour and do a lot of shit. So we told him and, you know, he liked it. So he put it out.
Now, I understand there was a very interesting story about the drummer and 10 hours before the Asher's tour.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yeah, basically, the dude who's playing drums with us before plays, what the hell's the name of that band? Defeater. He's was playing drums in Defeater, who at the time were called Sluts.
Okay.
But it was before they changed the name and got signed to Bridge Nine, and he was playing drums with us, and he was just kind of a weird dude, and he started acting real weird a couple weeks before the tour and wasn't really returning our phone calls, and then, you know, as it got closer, we're like, hey, what's up? Are you coming on tour with us? Like, we need to know. And then, the day before we left, he basically called us, and I think it was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and was like, you know, I'm having a nervous breakdown, I'm going to the hospital, all this shit, which we never found out if it was bullshit or not, so I'm not even sure. But basically, he left us in a weird spot. So we're like, oh, fuck, well, we're leaving, you know, tomorrow. So we just started thinking of, you know, what can we do? Can we find somebody? And our bass player, Joe, was like, oh, I know this guy, you know, I'll call him up. And, you know, we called him, and he dropped everything, came down, and, you know, learned like 4 or 5 songs, and, you know, we practiced them, and then we left the next day, drove to Philly, and the whole time he just listened to the songs and, played with us after one practice. So, yeah, it was interesting. But it worked out. I mean, he picked the stuff up, like, fairly quickly. For the first 3 or 4 shows, we only played, like, 5 songs. But, you know, at least we played 5 songs and didn't have to cancel our tour.
Were you nervous? I mean, when you guys first started playing with him, were you like, oh, God, this is going to go to hell really quick?
Yeah, we were a little nervous, but we just said, screw it, like, what are we going to do? You know, it was pretty much our only option, so I think it was just kind of like, you know, practice with them, make them listen to the songs, and then get drunk and hope for the best, you know, like, at least, you know, that's what, not he didn't, but that's, I think, what the rest of us did, just kind of like,
right.
All right, let's just see what happens, you know, hopefully this goes well.
Right. Now, Mark, I want to play a song from Tenebrae, and it was really tough to decide which song to play first because all the stuff is great. And this is one band that I'm really excited about hearing more from. This is No Voice. Could you tell us about it before I play it, please?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that's probably the first or second song that Tenebrae actually wrote as a band. We just got together, and it's been actually a little less than a year. I think we formed like last October or November, so it's actually right about a year now. We just got together and wrote some songs, and this is one of the first or second ones. It's just kind of, to me, sounds like a mix of like, punk rock and like 80s, 90s New York hardcore.
Yeah.
So as far as like style-wise.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that. You guys are a definite throwback band. I grew up in the 80s in Philadelphia, and so I heard a lot of those guys. And when I heard Tenebrae the first time, it just captured that sound so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, I love a lot of hardcore bands, New York bands, whether it's, 80s, bands or, even like the, 90s bands like Sick of It All, it's one of my favorite bands. Gnostic Front, which, they 80s and 90s band. And the guitar player is really into that stuff too. And also the guy that plays drums in that EP is not in the band anymore, but he played in Warzone, he played in Sick of It All, and he grew up on all that stuff too. So it just kind of, when we started playing together, that's just kind of what happened, the sound that came out of it.
Okay. This is Tenebrae with No Voice. San Clemente Punk, proudly part of the Fighting Words Radio Network here on blogtalkradio.com. Tonight we're joined by Mark Unseen, legendary lead vocalist for bands like The Unseen, Global Threat, Ashers, and Tenebrae. He's also guested on Blood for Blood and Death Before Dishonor. If you'd like to talk to Mark or you have any questions, you can call us at 347-202-0832, or you can click on the free Skype link on the page's site. Mark, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, no problem.
Mark, tell us about Tenebrae.
It's just something as we started doing about a year ago. The Unseen's been, you know, slowed down now for a couple of years. We haven't really toured since 2009. And on top of, you know, touring, we haven't really even played much just because members live in, you know, one guy's living way up in Maine and I'm living somewhere else and everyone's was working. So I was going crazy not writing songs. So I started looking around, and then one of my friends, Dominic, was looking to start a new band, and you know, we just kind of were talking about direction that he wanted to play and what I wanted to play, and he was in a band For the Worse before. It's like a really good straight up like punk rock hardcore band, and he was like looking to do something a little different, you know, just kind of experimenting and playing more metal, or you know, just, you know, even rock, you know, just you know, in the vein of like hardcore and punk. So
right.
We just we got together and kind of started throwing around ideas, and then we hooked up with the drummer and bass player, and just started, you know, writing songs, and Dominic had tons and tons of songs written that he had just been sitting on for a long time, because it wasn't really stuff that fit with what his other band was doing. So it was like just coming up with like six songs like happened like fast, you know, like I couldn't finish. By the time a song was done, I'd have to, you know, write lyrics, you know, or hurry to finish the lyrics so I could go, like, you know, practice a song with the band. So that's how it started. And then after a little while, after a couple of months, we found our bass player. This guy Ryan, he's like a local skinhead dude from Boston who had spent the last few years traveling with the Street Dogs, working with them and also playing with them, you know, certain songs live on stage, like acoustic guitar and stuff like that. And he was like looking to, you know, do his own thing because, you know, I think he was really into the Street Dogs thing, but it was kind of like he wasn't really a member of the band. He was, you know, just kind of like, I don't want to say an employee because he's good friends with the guys, but you know, it wasn't really his thing. So he was looking to start, you know, doing something where he was able to help write and put ideas in and stuff like that. So, the three of us, me, Ryan, and Dominic, just started, you know, getting together a lot and writing and stuff like that. And then, you know, things with our other drummer weren't working out. So we found another guy who was just playing in Blood for Blood. His name's Bobby. We hooked up with him. And then right around the same time, Blood for Blood kind of stopped doing stuff because all that stuff that happened with them a few months ago, which I'm sure you know about, that I don't really want to get into. But that band kind of is, you know, not broken up, but is definitely not active like they were before. So, you know, just joking around, I think, you know, Ryan said something to Craig like, hey, looks like you have some free time. You want to come play with us? And you know, he was like, absolutely. So then their guitar player, friend of ours, Craig, you know, came down and started playing with us. And he's like one of the best guitar players around. So he picked up our songs in seconds. And the last few months, just the five of us have been like, you know, really writing a lot of stuff. We just recorded three new songs a couple of weeks ago, which aren't mixed yet. But those, you know, we're going to end up mixing those soon. And I think we're going to do a couple split 7-inches with a band, like a metal band from Boston called Panzer Bastard. And then I think, you know, trying to maybe do a split with Death Before Dishonor. Not sure if that's going to pan out or not. But, you know, those are like the next two things that we're looking at doing. And then going into record a full length, probably, I'd say, sometime in the winter once we just write a few more songs.
Yeah, you just covered a bunch of my other questions. How did you come up with the name Tenebrae?
A lot of times when I look for names, I'll just look through, you know, like old horror books or, you know, books on serial killers or, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
And Tenebrae is an old horror movie, an old Italian horror movie. And there's a... You can spell it a couple different ways, just you know, depending on the language that, you know, it was released in, which, you know, what country. So, you know, I thought it looked cool, you know, and it had the cool graphics from the movie. It's an old Dario Argento movie. And then I went in and, you know, started looking at, you know, like what it means and everything, and just like the meaning, you know, is fairly cool too. It's just like a religious, like a part of religious ceremony where you blow out a bunch of candles to, like, you know, symbolize darkness and death. So it's just kind of like a cool name. And we were, you know, everyone in the band is into kind of like, you know, metal and, you know, horror stuff. And, you know, and that's kind of elements of stuff we wanted to incorporate in the band. We didn't want to write just a bunch of songs that sound like that song, No Voice, you know. It's a great song, but we don't want to just sound like a hardcore band, you know. So there's that song, Blood Runs Red, which is basically something I wrote about, just a fictional story about a serial killer, you know. So it's like, you know, we kind of a lot of like horror infused in the band and, you know, imagery, and we want to like incorporate that imagery as, and so we kind of thought like the name, that would be a good name for the band, because it doesn't really sound like a punk band or a hardcore band. At least it doesn't sound like what I consider a hardcore band. There's a lot of bands now that say that's hardcore, and they kind of have a little more artistic names, but so I don't know. It's just something that we kind of liked, and it's also hard just finding a band name nowadays because everything's been used.
Right. Now, Mark, you've been in you know, some seminal bands that have been very influential to a lot of people. Would you say your influences have changed from the beginning when you formed The Unseen to Ashers to Tenebrae? Have those influences changed at all, or have they pretty much stayed the same? And which bands would you say you've used for influence for Tenebrae?
Well, as far as bands I'd say I'd use for influence for Tenebrae, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of always the same thing. It's you know, well, kind of what you're listening to. I think kind of what any artist is listening to at a time when they're writing, it kind of can, like, bleed into what they're doing, you know, whether they mean to do it or not. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not really, like, listening to any band, I think, and trying to incorporate it into Tenebrae. I don't know, really, as far as that. I just kind of try to write something that I think is a little bit different than stuff I've done in the past, but not that far of a stretch where it's too weird, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just kind of a natural progression, you know. If you write stuff, it's, you change over years, you know, whether it's, you know, getting better at something or just your opinion changing on something. I mean, there's probably stuff that I wrote, you know, when I was 18 years old that I don't agree 100% with now that I'm 36, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, people change over time. So yeah, I don't know. I think, what was the other part of the question? I don't remember.
Well, your influences, has Tenebrae's influences differed from, you know, Unseen and Ashers and...
Right. I mean, a little bit. I mean, I think we're trying not to be really political. Although, say, like that song No Voice, you know, it's you know, slightly political, but it's hard. I mean, if you're writing punk rock or hardcore, it's political. It is political.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, some bands are more than others, but that's typically what you're writing about, is you're writing about, you know, things that piss you off and, you know, shit that you think isn't right. And I mean, again, we're trying to stray a little from politics and write about other stuff. But that stuff I've always done. I mean, that song Blood Runs Red that I mentioned before, it's, like I said, it's kind of a something about like a murder. But I've done that in The Unseen too. There's a song Hit and Run, which is the same thing. It was just a song about, you know, a murder. It was something I saw on like Forensic Files, that show, and I just kind of like took it from that. And then same with Ashers. We had songs about, you know, like you know, true crime and horror and murder. So I don't know, I think it just kind of, it's, stuff stays the same, but it changes a little bit, you know, just with the sound of the band and with as you mature as a person.
Tenebrae recently signed with legendary Jailhouse Records. How did you decide on Jailhouse?
Well, we just started, like, you know, we started sending stuff out, you know, posting stuff online and stuff like that, and they got in touch with us. Dave hit us up, and you know, seems like a nice guy, and he's putting out some good stuff, and he seemed honest, you know, and easy to work with, and so, you know, we just kind of, I started talking to him, and he was fair, you know. I, you know, told him kind of what we were looking to do, and vice versa, and, you know, he told us what he was looking for, and it just seemed like the right thing, and you know, so far it's been great. He's, you know, it's, if I need to get in touch with him, it's, you know, he's easy to get on the phone. It's not like I got to wait 2 weeks to hear back from him or stuff like that. So,
right.
So it's right.
And,
yeah, no, everything.
You've been fortunate enough. I mean, you had Dwayne Miller with you know, with Thorpe. You know, working with, you've been fortunate enough to work with some really great names in the you know, in the, well, in punk rock and hardcore world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have been really lucky. I mean, even being on BYO Records with The Unseen, it's that was you know, really, really good thing for us. The Stern Brothers did so much to, you know, for The Unseen, you know, to get us from, like, that band that was you know, going around, you know, the country, like, killing ourselves, you know, to
right.
to play, and you know, they really kind of helped us bring us to that next level. Like, they were the ones that got us, like, on Warped Tour for the first time, and, you know, helped make it possible for us to, like, shoot a video and, you know, stuff like that. So those guys are great. And then, you know, before that, like, The Unseen, we put our first two records out on AF Records, which was Anti-Flag's label.
Right.
And those guys were great. You know, they really helped us out a lot, like, you know, bringing us out on tour numerous times so that we could play in front of, you know, more people. And then, you know, and then with Hellcat, you know, as well, same thing, like, getting to work with, you know, Brett Gurewitz from Bad Religion and, you know,
right.
Tim Armstrong and stuff like that. It was, you know, just cool to be able to, you know, be kind of, you know, recognized by, you know, people that you grew up liking, you know, I mean, who didn't like Bad Religion growing up or Rancid.
Right.
You know, a lot of people say they didn't like Rancid, you know, growing up, if, you know, if you're, say, around 35, 36, but chances are you were into them when you know, when you
right.
were a teenager. So yeah, no, I've you know, been pretty lucky, you know, with and GMM Records too, you know, with Global Threat.
Right.
Getting to work with you know, singer of the Anti-Heroes is cool.
Right.
So yeah, I've been pretty lucky. I mean, yeah, nothing, not everything's been perfect, but that's just the way it goes. Nothing's perfect for anybody. So
right. Now, Mark, when can we expect the new Tenebrae release?
Well, like I said, we just recorded three songs. I think it was, what, about 2 weeks ago, a week or two ago. We just
okay.
got to mix those. And two songs will go on a split, and we recorded three. So, that, I don't know, we'll probably end up just putting a song up online or something once it's mixed. So that, you know, just something for people to listen to, because it seems like nowadays just posting, you know, one or two songs free is kind of the way to get noticed. It's like, you know, back when I was, you know, like, really, you know, pushing my label and stuff, and, you know, and before the band was kind of, The Unseen was, like, known, it was like, you wanted to get on comps, you know, like, that was the thing,
right.
to try to get on comps with other bands, you know, so that people could hear you. But nowadays it's kind of posting stuff on the internet and hoping people spread it around, you know, on, like, YouTube or Facebook or whatever. So, that's our, you know, like I said, we're going to get a, you know, a split 7-inch out soon, post a song online, and then, like I said, we just got to go in and finish writing the songs for the album. So I would say I would expect an album probably out for Tenebrae, like, next summer, I would think. I'm guessing we'll probably record late winter, you know, maybe, like, February, March, maybe even April or something. And then, like, hope to have something out, you know, like I said, in the summer, as long as it works with, you know, schedule-wise with, you know, with Jailhouse and, you know, and everybody in the band. Because once we put a record out, I want to definitely go out and play, you know, at least, you know, do some sort of touring. I don't think Tenebrae is going to go do, like, a, you know, like a 2-month tour or anything, just because everyone in the band's a little older and I run my own landscaping company and everyone in the band's like, you know, pretty busy with work and stuff. But
right.
I think we would probably go do, you know, fly out and do, you know, like a West Coast run, you know, do like an East Coast run, stuff like that. So.
Well, we'd love to have you here in Salt Lake. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'd love to. I haven't been back to, I've been to Salt Lake shit probably 20 times, but I haven't been there in a while. I think actually the last time I was there, like I mentioned this to you earlier, that I played there 08, 09. I think it was not Nine Inch Nails. It was some like big, shit, I just knew and now I totally just spaced my mind. There was like it was at that club downtown, near the mall. There's like a big room and a small room.
Oh, Club we Sound put, and Bricks.
Yep, Depot. That's it. Bricks. Right? Bricks, yeah. The small room, right?
Yeah.
I think. Yep. Yeah. I think we might have played there with the, might have been the Casualties and Anti-Flag actually. I think. And yeah, we were in the small room, and I think it was Nine Inch Nails was in the big room or something like that. So it was kind of weird. And yeah, that was
a little weird.
Like 07, I think it was like 07, 08 or something like, yeah.
Okay, all right. Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me tonight. With these last few minutes, I'd like to give you the opportunity to let us know where we can find you or your bands online. I'd also like to give you the opportunity to give any shout-outs or thank yous you would like. The floor is yours.
Let me see. I don't know any of the addresses for where to find us. I mean, you can find, you know, Tenebrae on Facebook. If you type it in, I'm sure it'll pop up. I know there's one other Tenebrae from, like, I don't know, some like somewhere in Europe or something. They don't seem that active, though. But yeah, I don't know. You can find us on Facebook. Same with anything else, like The Unseen or Ashers. So, yeah, I don't know. That's basically that. I don't have any, like, actual addresses. As far as thanks, I don't know. Thanks to you for, you know, having me on this. And,
sure.
You know, anybody that's supported, you know, any of my bands or whatever, you know, I appreciate it. It's not an easy thing to do, to dedicate so much time to something. You know, people think it's, oh, you're in a band, it's everything's great, you're lucky, this and that. And yeah, no, I'm not going to say I'm not. I'm definitely lucky. I've got to do a lot of things that somebody that comes from the amount of money and education that I have, like, which isn't that much. I've exceeded those expectations by going, you know, traveling the world and stuff. So I got to thank, you know, anybody that's ever, you know, supported me in that way by coming out to a show, you know, because without people coming out, it would have made it a lot harder. So, you know, basically,
right.
Just thanks to my fans, I guess, or, you know, I don't know if that sounds lame or not, but.
Mark, I really appreciate you coming on. You've been a great interview. For any of your fans, if you want to let them know if they missed it, this goes into a loop, and they can download it as a podcast if they search San Clemente Punk under Fightin' Words with no G on iTunes.
Okay.
I want to finish off tonight, though, with my favorite song by Tenebrae that I've heard so far anyway, is Blood Runs Red. Could you tell us a bit about it before I play it?
Yeah, sure. It's just, you know, we started playing together, and you know, I'd said to Dominic, who writes most of the riffs, you know, like, want something that's kind of like a dark punk-sounding song, you know, I had the lyrics. They were, like I said before, it's a continuation almost to a Self-Destruct song, which was called Violent Affair. It was actually the name of the Self-Destruct 7-inch. And so the Tenebrae song is, like I said, a continuation of it lyrically, basically. It's just kind of a, you know, a fictional story about murder, about a serial killer. And then towards
okay.
the end, there's you can hear some like yelling, like a girl
right.
screaming over the music. I actually, I took that from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Although you'd never know if I didn't, you know, unless you were told, because it was just like something I looped that was like towards the end of the movie where she was getting killed.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I thought maybe you jumped out on somebody and scared them. No, Mark, I really appreciate you. You've been a great interview. And I will, well, I'll email you on your Facebook page, but I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
I look forward to hearing more from you.
Yeah, we'll do it again sometime. I'll get drunk next time. I might be more entertaining. But thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks. Have a good one. Take care.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Okay, guys. Thanks for listening tonight. We're going to finish off tonight with Blood Runs Red by Tenebrae. Another great interview on San Clemente Punk. We'll see you guys next Monday. We may have a guest. We may not. But we're finishing it out tonight with Blood Runs Red. And just this show and all shows on Fight Boards Radio Network are dedicated to the memory of my brother, Robert Anthony Carroll. Bobby, we miss you a great deal. My brother was murdered June 18th of 2011, and we miss him a lot. He was the founder and creator of Fight Words. So, again, thanks for listening, guys. This is Tenebrae with Blood Runs Red.
Stay out of the way! The cross is back! Step up, Joe! It's a